This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. I'm pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman. Planting season's in full swing throughout most of North Dakota, says NDSU Extension Cropping System Specialist Jeff Stackler.
As far as, you know, the south central, southeast, and a little bit into the northeast part of the state, wheat, all crops are being planted right now, but wheat and barley are the farthest along. In some areas, we're completely done the farther west, and where you get into the dry pockets like Sheridan County and farther south along the South Dakota border, most of those counties are completely done planting barley and wheat. And moving along to corn, you know, Cass, Emmons, Logan, McIntosh, Ransom, those southern counties kind of south of 94. They had about 20% of the corn planted as of May the 5th.
Early weed pressures starting to emerge.
Earliest emerging weeds like kochia and common lamb's quarters, those two species are out there and they're growing quite well. And so those individuals that haven't made a burn down need to be very timely and make sure they're using the best herbicide rates to get weeds controlled. Kochia is, I think, some of the most dense I've seen. And when you are spraying small kochia, then you might not get all the kochia controlled, which will bring into problems with the post-emergent side.
The majority of the spring wheat crop is seeded. It's a fun time of the year for Westbred Technical Product Manager Justin Berg.
Yeah, I'd say we're probably well over 75% seeded in the wheat crop across the region. There are some areas that we're lagging a little bit behind just because of rainstorms that we had here over the last couple weeks, but it's been a real, real productive last 10 days.
And Berg says that newly seeded crop could use some moisture.
I know some areas are starting to dry out. We're seeing a lot of dust fly, and a lot of winds, and we're looking at 90 degrees here over the next few days. I know a lot of farmers are hoping for some rain here to get this seed off to a good start.
Farmers in the Minot, North Dakota area have been planting since mid-April. Dakota Agronomy Partners Minot location seed plant manager Lyle Johnson would like to see some rain.
The weather's been good as far as planting. We definitely could use some moisture, but I think we're letting everybody get everything done before we get a little bit of moisture. But it's looking good out there. We just got to have some moisture yet.
Johnson says the southern end of the DAP footprint has been seeing more planting progress than in the north.
From the Washburn area up to around Minot, we're probably in that 70% planted. Then, of course, you start going north, and like I said, they're probably about a week and a half behind. So, but they're going strong now. So the corn and canola going in good. I would say there's probably a little bit fall back on the canola, but for the most part, it's still quite a bit being planted. Soybeans are just getting picked up, and we're doing really good on soybeans.
As sugar beets start to emerge, NDSU Extension sugar beet entomologist Mark Botel reminds farmers to be scouting fields and looking for bare spots.
Crop starts emerging, looking for any irregular patches that might indicate either cutworm or possibly springtail activity. Springtail would be more in the heavier soils, and then cutworms, they are more, they're pretty flexible, so they don't really care what kind of soil they end up in. And
Botel is also watching for aster leaf hoppers.
And that was, just new to us, and unfortunately new to the affected growers as well. And what we saw in those was that the earlier planted beets that were a little more established were able to bounce back out of that leafhopper injury and the phytoplasma that they vector as well, sort of a disease-like organism that impacts them.
Minnesota House and Senate conference committees meet today. Minnesota Corn Growers Association Public Policy Director Amanda Billick says there are still some state budget issues that need to be ironed out before the committees can get to work on the reconciliation process.
The conference committee can't really dig too much in until there is a broader kind of budget agreement on a framework for the overall state budget. And that needs to be agreed to by the governor and then the caucus leaders from the House and the Senate. So they'll start with that process because to sort of look at the provisions that are in those bills. But until they get an overall spending kind of agreement, they can't really start reconciling the differences in spending between the House and the Senate versions.
And there is a bit of a gap between the two sides that still need to be bridged.
Because the House bill did about $17 million in new funding for the Department of Agriculture or across the agriculture jurisdiction, and the Senate had a negative or a cut target of about $300,000. And the Senate had to rely on sort of looking at how you balance that with some of the existing programs, if there would be new funding initiatives. There were very little of new funding initiatives that were included over on the Senate side, but had to prioritize some of those areas, in particular around avian flu, and having more funding in particular for responding to some of the animal disease issues.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending May 1st shows combined old and new crop corn sales of 1.68 million metric tons. That's 33% more than the previous week and 34% more than the four-week average. Combined old and new crop soybean sales of 386,000 tons, 19% less than the previous week, 7% below the four-week average. Old and new crop wheat sales of 563,000 metric tons, 81% more than the previous week and 104% more than the four-week average.
U.S. Meat Export Federation says exports of U.S. beef, pork, and lamb trended higher year over year in March. USDA data shows March beef export value was the highest since June 24. The value of beef exports in March was up 4% to $922 million. The value of March pork exports was $770 million, which is up 4% year over year. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Minnesota Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson praised the agriculture and broadband finance bills during a House and Senate conference committee, calling them strong bipartisan efforts.
For the targets that both bills got, you know, and there's a lot of talk around here, even in the agency, I really appreciate the work that both bodies put into putting these bills together, and those were reflected with strong bipartisan votes in both bodies as we look at that. And the big piece of it, of course, is always our operating adjustment as we look at costs. That's reflected in the same in both bodies.
Peterson also highlighted pressing challenges, including avian influenza detection and the backlog in wolf and elk depredation payments and a shortage of large animal veterinarians.
My vet was on vacation last year, and I couldn't get a hold of a vet for 100 miles, you know, and then to pay for a vet on a Sunday for a call to come 150 miles, you know, those are tough decisions that farmers make. And so anything that we can do to encourage that, and I do worry about that as we look at, you know, our farm groups and livestock groups are working on that.
The Environmental Protection Agency reconsidering its approach to waters of the United States, prompting cautious optimism from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. NCBA Chief Counsel Mary Thomas Hart said the agency is taking a more collaborative approach under the Trump administration.
You know, not only did EPA announce a potential WOTUS, you know, reconsideration, but the same day that it made that announcement, it announced the reconsideration of 31 different regulations from the Biden administration. You're talking about everything from, you know, climate-related regulations, other air emissions, other water regulations, things that really put a damper on any small business owner's ability to be profitable in a kind of tough economy. So, you know, I think I appreciate what the EPA is doing. I really do appreciate that they're taking stakeholder feedback before they just start down the path of a new regulation. I think that they learned some really important lessons during the first Trump administration and are applying those now.
Referencing the recent Supreme Court decision that overturned much of the WOTUS precedent, Hart emphasizing the need for clarity.
we have to have a WOTUS definition that doesn't just allow an attorney, doesn't just allow a wetland specialist or an engineer to determine if something is WOTUS. The everyday landowner, a farmer or rancher who owns land, has to be able to walk out on their land, look at a feature, and at least make a preliminary determination about whether that feature is federally jurisdictional. That's a high bar for the EPA to meet, but if they're gonna put down words on paper, they have to not only comply with the Clean Water Act, but the U.S. Constitution.
Renewable fuels advocates continue to press for policy changes that would expand market access and drive demand for ethanol-blended fuels. Renewable Fuels Association CEO Jeff Cooper says the push to secure year-round E15 sales is still alive despite legislative setbacks.
Boy, we were really, really close in December. That legislation was part of the continuing resolution package. And then in the 11th hour, all of the extras and riders came out of that bill. It was skinnied down. So, yeah, we ended up on the cutting room floor in December, unfortunately. So we're still working on it, looking for new opportunities, other opportunities to move that legislation in this new Congress. And unfortunately, those opportunities are few and far between. There's not a lot moving through Congress these days.
Cooper emphasized the potential economic impact if E15 becomes standard.
Well, if you're going from 10% to 15%, obviously you're growing demand for your product by 50%. So for ethanol, I mean, that would mean we'd go from a 14 billion gallon domestic market up to 20, 21 billion gallons. And obviously think about what that means for corn demand. You'd be grinding another 2.5 billion bushels of corn to support that kind of demand. Now, that's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to flip a switch and every gas station, every pump is selling E15. But it would happen over time, and we believe E15 would become the new norm. It would replace E10 in a matter of years.
National Cattlemen's Beef Association applauding President Trump's new trade agreement in principle with the United Kingdom. A key component of the deal is market access for American beef, which the NCBA says marks a significant victory for cattle producers. NCBA President Buck Werbein called the agreement a natural step, highlighting the shared values between the two countries and the long-standing interest in high-quality U.S. beef. The announcement follows years of NCBA outreach to U.K. officials and industry leaders. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week editor Jenny Schlecht. Jenny, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
On this week's cover, we're checking in with North Dakota Farmers Union. NDFU is the largest farm group in North Dakota, as well as the largest state farmers union group in the country. Mark Watney has been president of the group since 2013, and he recently announced he will not run for another term as president. I caught up with him to talk about his career with North Dakota Farmers Union and what's next for him and for the organization. Having a new president will mean a lot of change. Mark said he's on something like 19 other committees related to Farmers Union, and he chairs a lot of them, so there will be leadership changes in a lot of areas for the group. So far, Shelley Zisch of Pettibone is the only member to officially announce she's running for president. Shelley is a farmer and rancher with lifetime experience in Farmers Union. Both Mark and Shelley also went to Washington, D.C. this week for the Farmers Union Week of Action, where they were visiting with lawmakers and their staff members about ag policy needs, most notably a new farm bill and some updated farm safety net provisions. So while there's a lot of change coming for the group, they're still working on their big priorities around protecting and strengthening family farms. The NDFU annual convention is in December in Bismarck, so Mark Watney will remain at the helm until then, and then he may stick around a bit longer to help with the transition.
Thanks, Jenny. Looking forward to reading about it in next week's Ag Week.
Checking quotes, July wheat Minneapolis down 6.25 to 594.5. July wheat Chicago down 7 cents, 522.25. KC July hard red winter wheat's down 5.75 to 519.25. July corn down 1.75 or up 1.75 rather, 449.25. July soybeans up 5.5 to 1050.5. In Winnipeg, July canola is up $8.20 per metric ton, 709.30 Canadian. June live cattle up 17 cents, 214.42. August down 72 cents. October live cattle down 70 cents. August feeders down $1.22 at 302 cents. September feeders down $1.35. October feeders down $1.50. June lean hogs up 22 cents, 97.40. July lean hogs up a dime, 135 cents. August lean hogs up 57 cents. Have a great weekend. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.